This is Glow in the Dark Radio. The science fiction podcast with original independent science fiction written and performed by Mike Luoma, with music by Kevin MacLeod. The Vatican Assassin Trilogy and The Adventures of Alibi Jones by Mike Luoma are available in ebook, trade paperback, and audiobook wherever you find your books online. Get links and details at glowinthedarkradio.com. This is the science fiction podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Got four chapters for you today. We're beginning and ending with Alibi Jones meeting up with his Aunt Anita and Billy Gentry. And in the meantime, it's kind of like a sandwich. In the middle, we've got a visit with Constantine and Spears, and we'll check in with Hap as well. But yes, our protagonist, the intrepid Alibi Jones, is quite possibly about to blow his chances of creating an important political alliance because he doesn't like the guy who's dating his foster mom. Yep. It's a delicate situation, in some ways. Alibi Jones has a starseed, and he's about to get together with his Aunt Anita and her beau, Billy Gentry, to talk about the Solar Alliance's expansion plans, including some that affect the Hornet's Nest. So Alibi will sit down to dinner with them first and find out what's happening. As I say, we'll check in with the head of the Solar Alliance, Nico Constantine, and his top man, Justin Spears, who now both hate Alibi Jones. It's become a thing for them, you know? And we'll see what Alibi Jones's twisted half-brother Hap is up to, as he's been trying to develop the substance. The stuff that's let him read and mess with other people's minds. So Hap is up to something, and I promise you it's no good. We'll find out what as we get into four chapters from the Starseeds of Earth coming up on Glow in the Dark Radio. You know what's cool is I was looking at all the different countries in the world people are listening from, listening to this podcast. When I was on Podomatic the other day, I just got looking. Because I know I have a whole bunch of people listening in the UK. Hello, UK! And a bunch in Australia. But also New Zealand and Canada. Big pockets of listeners. New Zealand and Canada. And it turns out there's people listening in China as well. Lots of downloads and just plays in China. Some of that in Russia, too. And France and Singapore, Ireland, Taiwan, Ukraine, Netherlands, Ghana, South Korea, Japan, Spain, Italy, Germany, the Czech Republic or Czechia, Belgium. Of course, the USA is still the most plays and downloads. But it's just cool to see where people are listening. And if that's you, if I just named your country, thank you. Thank you for listening. Reach out and say hey. GlowInTheDarkRadio@gmail.com is my email address, or just look me up on socials. You can find us on Instagram as GlowInTheDarkRadio, or find me on Facebook, facebook.com/MikeLuoma, MikeLuoma. Same at Twitter, twitter.com/MikeLuoma. Quick check of our news. I want to remind you, if you're enjoying what you hear on this podcast, you can become a patron. Go to Patreon, P-A-T-R-E-O-N, patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio. And for $2 a month, $5 a month, or $10 a month, you can become a Glow in the Dark Radio patron and help support this podcast and my science fiction efforts. And not only do you give support, but you also get some free stuff too. I do a lot of exclusives, things that you only get if you're a patron. And I throw a lot of free things your way, free audiobooks and such. Again, to help support the podcast, and get some very cool exclusives, just go to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio. And I'm working on something cool for patrons right now. I'll tell you in just a couple minutes here. First, a couple of other news items. My ebooks are on sale. If you don't have copies of any of my books, head over to Smashwords. The July Summer Winter Sale is on. The Star Seeds of Earth is 25% off as an ebook. And everything else is 50% off. That's happening at Smashwords, smashwords.com. And also, the Comixology Submit Small Press Superhero Sale is happening. So if you go to comixology.com, you can get Red Hot and Good Samaritan. You can get the graphic novels. 3-in-1 for Red Hot, 2-in-1 for Good Samaritan. Those graphic novels are just 99 cents. That's the Small Press Superhero Sale at Comixology. Comixology.com. And the easiest way to get to my books at each of those is to go to glowinthedarkradio.com or mikeluoma.com, MikeLuoma.com. And there's banners right at the top that'll take you to my books. Now, as I was mentioning, talking about patrons, I'm working on something new as far as the timeline goes. I wanted to update the timeline because when I originally wrote it, it was in the 90s. And I said a lot of stuff happened in the zeros and teens that just didn't happen. I had to revise. So now I've revised, and I'm putting a new future history together, and the first people who are going to get it are going to be my patrons. And there's going to be a very cool way you can experience it, too. More on that to come. But again, mostly for patrons. Actually, if you're a patron, you're going to get something exclusive this weekend. I decided I was going to put together a little timeline podcast, because I'm not quite ready to share it in print or anything yet, but I want to get that out there, and it does have to relate to the Starseeds in some ways, so I am going to start an exclusive podcast just for patrons that features the timeline, and part one will be going up this weekend. So if you're a patron, you'll get that. If you're not, you will not. Little incentive to become a patron. Got to pick back up on some other stuff I had started on, too. Here are some other ideas I'm pursuing as we head towards the anniversary of Vatican Assassin. 15 years this coming November. All right, we're about to get into our chapters. Alibi is about to go to dinner with his aunt and Billy Gentry as we get into the next chunk of Alibi Jones's adventure, The Starseeds of Earth, coming up on Glow in the Dark Radio. First, a quick check-in with JC. Just sent me a new promo for his podcast.
Hi, I'm JC. My co-host Cindy and I host the Fix It Home Improvement Podcast. We cover projects that every homeowner should know and top-rated products for home and garden. You can check it out on your favorite podcast app. It's called Fix It, F-I-X-I-T, Home Improvement.
Now here's Chapter 56 of The Starseeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio. Alibi, come here! Anita called from a table over by the windows of Buono, the new Italian restaurant down near the port. Inside, camouflaged video panels, passing for windows, showed a twilight outdoor scene in old Naples, Italy, on the shore of the Tyrrhenian Sea. A light, manufactured breeze wafted a hint of seaside air through the room to mix with tantalizing aromas escaping from the kitchen. Wow, Alibi said, impressed. He smiled as he looked around and enjoyed and absorbed the room's atmosphere. A small frown hit as he momentarily thought of visiting Finder down on the ocean in Mar del Plata, and remembered he was dead now. He walked through the room to his aunt's table, where she and Billy Gentry sat waiting. Gentry looked up from his menu as Alibi approached. Hello, Alibi, his aunt said. Alibi, Gentry said, acknowledging him. How are you?
Governor,
Alibi said and nodded to him. I'm good, thank you. He turned to his aunt. Aunt Anita?
Thank you for joining us, his aunt said. I'm glad you accepted the invitation. Sit down, won't you?
I've been wanting to check out Buono, Alibi said as he took a seat. Thank you for asking. How are you two doing?
Good, Anita said. Although Bill never feels quite at home here.
I like this place, Gentry said, looking around the restaurant. I'm okay.
When we started building these forward operating bases, I had no idea I'd be living in one, Anita said.
This was your idea, Gentry asked.
My administration's, Anita said. We built 10. They abandoned half of them after I retired, including this one. She frowned. When Constantine and his goons took over.
Well, it worked out to our benefit, Alibi said. He didn't say what he thought next.
You mean before you started dating one of Constantine's goons, Aunt Anita? Ah, why ruin dinner?
They made small talk until dinner arrived. Delicious southern Italian cuisine. Alibi tore into his marinara and pasta with vigor. He didn't realize how hungry he'd gotten. Buono even had sparkling water in bottles. Alibi liked the fizz. They didn't talk much after that, as they each devoured their meal.
It is nice to get away from Sharkovsky, Gentry said, as talk turned toward world and current events after dinner. His way of protesting my command is to ask my opinion on everything. Death of a thousand cuts or something.
Bill, Anita said. Alibi knew that tone. He's not that bad.
You're right. At least he hasn't asked me which way to wipe yet.
Oh, William, that is disgusting. And at dinner, really? She said.
Sorry, Gentry said.
I was all set to hate him, Anita said. After the way his people acted when they came after Alibi and I last year, there was no call for that. But he turned out to be nicer than I thought he'd be.
He's a jerk, Gentry said. Small-minded little prick.
What do you really think, Alibi said, and laughed. Gentry turned and smiled at Alibi. There was no warmth or humor in that grin.
You get it, right?
Sure, Alibi said. I've seen footage of the guy. Career military, buzz cut, no nonsense.
No imagination either, Gentry said.
Well, we didn't have dinner to talk about him, Anita said. There are more important things we have to discuss. Alibi got a sinking feeling in the pit of his stomach. His dinner started threatening to rebel.
Wait, no, you two aren't, Alibi began.
Aren't what?
Gentry said, confused. Getting married? Anita said. No, Alibi, we're not.
Hell no,
Gentry said. You see, Anita said, you have nothing to fear, and you need to stop thinking about the world in such personal terms. It isn't always about you, Alibi, or us.
When were you last on Depot, Alibi? Gentry asked.
A few months ago, just before last Christmas, I think.
So you didn't notice the presence of the Greater Tau back then, right?
No, didn't see any around.
Well, they're there now, Anita said, cutting in.
No one I know, except for the prime rep and his inner circle, like having so much of the Tecta and Secta all over Depot, Gentry said. All over everywhere in the Solar Alliance.
I told you that you two had more in common than you knew, Alibi, Anita said.
I'm wearing a small field scrambler, so we can talk a little here. But I don't want to go into any details in public, Gentry said.
A small field scrambler? Alibi asked.
Started wearing it when your aunt and I got together, and I didn't want Constantine to know, Gentry said. Since then, it's proven remarkably useful and handy.
I can imagine, Alibi said.
Covers a radius about as big as our table here, Gentry said. So I can tell you one more thing for now, but we need to meet in private later.
Okay.
I've received orders to the effect that the Hornet's Nest will soon be informed of a permanent station by the Solar Alliance and the Greater Ta on the base.
What?
Alibi almost shouted. They can't do that. This isn't a public space. It doesn't belong to them anymore.
It did, Gentry said.
But they sold it to you, correct?
Yes, Alibi said. Emily took care of it all. Well, there may be some stipulation in there about population growth and the SA's right to assert more control, Gentry said. Or at least they're making noises like there is. I'll have Emily look into that, Alibi said. There's no way it... Is that why you're here? Nah, not supposed to tell you about it yet, Gentry said. Yet here I am, doing just that. Surprised?
Yeah, Alibi said. Thank you.
You're welcome.
See, Alibi? His aunt said.
There occasionally comes a time when you recognize that someone you've been working with has made a deal with the devil, Gentry said, and you must begin to figure out how to save yourself from getting burned alongside them.
Gentry grinned that humorless grin again.
Clearly, someone brought in a power he thought he could control, and that said power is now in control of him.
And he wants to invade the nest, Alibi said.
The nest?
Gentry asked. It's what folks are calling the place, Alibi said. It isn't a base anymore. It's a home for people. It's my home. He frowned.
How ready are we to defend ourselves?
Can we meet privately later? Anita asked. Tomorrow morning sometime. Of course, Alibi said. My office?
How about your apartment instead? Less formal, his aunt said. Less obvious.
Sure, Alibi said. Good idea. 10 a.m.?
Sounds good, Gentry said.
After dinner, Alibi walked back to his apartment, deep in thought.
Was already worried about our defenses with the starseed here. Now this. At least Gentry seems to have shifted some. Guess we can thank Aunt Anita for some of that, and Nico Constantine's capitulation to the Greater Ta for the rest. The Greater Ta. Greater than what? There's no way I'm letting the Greater Ta on board the nest. Ain't happening.
Then the other thought came back again, the one that had been nagging at him.
And I need to go back and rescue Ruth, my mother. No one deserves that kind of abuse. I'll kill happiness if I have to. Even if I'm not quite sure yet how.
Chapter 57.
Your man didn't take out Alibi Jones? Constantine asked Spears.
No, sir, Spears said.
And you had sent a follow-up to do the job?
No. He was sent to clean up the asset who was dumb enough to get caught, Spears said.
And then you had him do Jones?
No.
Why not?
He told me I couldn't afford his rate for that, Spears said.
Spears didn't tell Constantine the truth. Spears wanted to kill Alibi Jones himself, or at least be there when it happened. He wasn't about to pay Father Death to do his job.
We could afford it, Constantine said, easily.
I'm sure. Alibi Jones is quite disorderly. The cost would easily be justifiable, in the interest of maintaining order.
Not and keep it untraceable.
Oh, good point, Constantine said. Well, we are moving our forces out to Depot to stage the takeover of... Excuse me, I mean the installation of our forces on the Hornet's Nest. You could take care of Jones yourself, then. Keep it untraceable and orderly. Spears tried not to show Constantine had startled him with that. He wondered if Constantine knew he'd held back with the hitman on purpose, or figured it out. He found himself wondering about Nico Constantine a lot lately. Spears felt like he didn't really know him anymore. They no longer traded jokes. The man wasn't the same person he'd been. He had less personality. More order.
Chapter 58.
They had done it. Hap knew they could. His big brains had figured out how to reconstitute a small amount of the substance. They called him to report the news. He ran to the labs as fast as he could.
We needed to find the proper protein medium to reactivate the original substance, bring it out of its dried and dormant state, Dr. Jennycroft said. Here's what we have so far. She held up a large vial, filled with a glittering, light blue gel. Hap reached out and took the vial. He held it up to the light. It was beautiful. What happened to the little bit of activated substance we'd found? Croft asked. Some of that would have helped to figure out the...
God required it, Hap said, cutting her off.
He continued to contemplate the new substance. Oh, she looked at Hap. He could hear her thoughts, quite loud. You took it. Wow, maybe that's what's wrong with you. He glared back at her. What, she said, what did I do?
What's wrong with me? Hap said. Maybe it's what's right with me. You should have thought that.
He reached out with his mind hand, as he thought of it, and squeezed her head, her big brain.
Ouch! You're hurting me, she said. How are you doing?
The woman blacked out and collapsed to the floor. Blood ran from her nose.
Dr. Croft!
Her assistant, Dr. Leonard, came running into the lab.
What happened?
He ran to her side, kneeling down to see if he could help her.
I don't know. She just collapsed,
Hap lied. The man's thoughts were also loud and wrong.
What did you do to her? What kind of monster?
Hap squeezed Dr. Leonard's big brain, as he'd done to Croft. Leonard collapsed next to his boss on the floor with his own nosebleed. Hap reached out with his mind to try to soothe them. He could punish, but he could forgive and heal as well. Except he'd squeezed a little too hard. They were both brain dead.
God damn it!
Hap said. He looked around quickly afterwards to make sure no one had heard him take the Lord's name in vain like that. But he'd just killed his only means of making more of the substance. At least he had the vial Croft had given him. What she and Leonard had reconstituted before their untimely demises. There was a lot more here than he'd used to enhance his mind. He could do more, and bring more souls to this heightened awareness of God's plan it had given him. And he knew the first soul who would benefit. His child. His son would grow wise beyond his years while still in his crib. This is how we bring on the second coming. He couldn't let his mother know what he planned to do. But she was with the baby all the time. He needed to distract her, knock her out or something. He had to be careful, though. He couldn't entirely trust his mental hand anymore. It did more than he wanted it to. It was more powerful and stronger than he intended. He looked at the substance. It seemed to almost glow with a light blue luminescence. Hap held up the vial as if he was consecrating the host at Mass. This is my Holy Communion, Hap said. This is the Lord's new covenant with his people. Those who receive this host will truly be chosen ones. The blessed. He lowered the vial and looked down at the two dead scientists. You have given us much and gone back to be with God, Hap said to the cooling corpses. Thank you. Your sacrifice will not be in vain. Hap dropped the vial into his pants pocket, then turned to leave the scene, already fixating on his plans. My son will be the first to live in this new glory of the Lord. Chapter 59. Alibi welcomed his aunt and Billy Gentry in for coffee in the morning at his apartment. After a few niceties and a little small talk, they got down to the true business at hand. Gentry produced a security cube and turned it on, so the field would shield their conversation. Tell Alibi what you've been hearing, Bill, Anita said. There are a lot of people getting tired of the Greater Ta involving themselves in our affairs. We may see a couple of the colonies start to break away from Earth. Gentry said. Really? The Greater Ta won't like that, Alibi said. They cannot have such disorder.
He mocked their translator voices.
This cannot stand. There will be a war for order.
There just might be, Gentry admitted.
We will resist, Alibi said.
Well, I should hope so, Anita said.
I'm not even sure Nico or Constantine is even calling the shots anymore, Gentry said.
He thought the Greater Tau would save his ass. Now they own him. I can hardly get him on the comm. And when I do, guy's like a fucking robot. Greater Tau owns his ass.
And ours, Alibi said.
Not if I can help it, Gentry said. I'm not a fan of answering to anyone. Never mind a bunch of lizard and crab people I don't know.
But you thought Nico could save your ass, so you helped him get to this level where he could sell us out, Alibi said to Gentry.
That makes you an accomplice. You enabled the Greater Ta to infiltrate. This is your fault. You know that, don't you?
Gentry stared at him.
Alibi, his aunt said, some admonishment in her tone of voice.
Alibi wasn't backing down. Credit where credit is due, huh? Alibi said.
This is how you want to do this, Gentry said.
What? Alibi said. Address your responsibility for where we are now? You have a problem with that. Gentry sighed, stood up, and put down his coffee mug. He began to walk for the apartment door.
I don't need this, Gentry said.
Bill, Anita said, trying to call him back into the conversation.
Rehash the past if you want to, Gentry said to Alibi. That's not getting us anywhere.
Gentry kept walking out of Alibi's apartments. Anita stood up to follow him.
That was not helpful, Anita said.
Neither was empowering Constantine to sell out the human race, Alibi said.
I think in terms of scale, I'm a lot more helpful than some people have been, including you.
Me? Anita was shocked at Alibi turning the argument on her.
You, Alibi said. He was getting angry. With all your talk of responsibility and leadership.
Alibi felt his ire rising. He couldn't stop himself.
And then you abandoned both to go chase an asshole like that.
Anita frowned at him.
I'd hoped we could start working together, she said. That's obviously not happening. I can't believe you trust Gentry, Alibi exploded. You are literally sleeping with the enemy, Aunt Anita.
She glared back at Alibi. Then she whipped around and strode out of his apartment. The door whooshed back into place behind her.
If she could have slammed that door, she would have.
But she needs to see the damage she's doing. Alibi looked at the silent, closed door to his rooms.
I can't believe she trusts that douchebag.
Hope my next meeting goes better.
That was Chapter 59 of The Starseeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Well, it seems like Alibi Jones could not put his personal hate for William Gentry to the side for the good of the human race.
I can't believe she trusts that douchebag.
Not great, Alibi. Not great, Mr. Jones.
But his next meeting that he was talking about is going to be significant. You probably want to be back here for that. They're going to be dealing with the Starseed. So that's coming up next episode, next week. As I say, you might want to be here for that. As The Starseeds of Earth continues on Glow in the Dark Radio. A reminder to head over to glowinthedarkradio.com or mikeluoma.com for an easy click through to the sales that are going on, the small press superhero sale at Comixology, and the July summer winter sale at Smashwords. At the Comixology sale, you can get the Red Hot and Good Samaritan graphic novels for just 99 cents digitally. And at Smashwords, you can get the Starseeds of Earth, the book you've been listening to. You can get the ebook of that for 25% off. Everything else is 50% off, half price. At Smashwords, all the ebooks. And again, to get over there and get to those books, probably easiest to go to Glow in the Dark Radio.
or MikeLuoma.com.
Please consider becoming a patron of this podcast by heading to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio. You can pledge $2, $5, or $10 a month and support this podcast and my science fiction work. And along the way, get some free stuff, including access to the Glow in the Dark Radio archives. Most regular sites only carry about 100 episodes. My host site, you can go back about 300 episodes, but there's almost 600, so I have an archive that you can dive into and go way back if you'd like. Plus, you get a lot of other stuff. Well, we are going to be checking in with Alibi Jones as they talk about what they're going to do with the Starseed on our next episode of Glow in the Dark Radio, so I hope you'll be back for that. Thank you for listening to this episode. I'm your writer and reader, your host, Mike Luoma. Thanks again for checking out Glow in the Dark Radio. Glow in the Dark Radio. This podcast presentation is copyright 2020 by Michael F. Luoma and is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License. CC by NCND 4.0. Music by Kevin MacLeod. You can find his work at acompetech.com and filmmusic.io. Mike's books are available in ebook, paperback, and audiobook wherever you find books online. Get links and more details at glowinthedarkradio.com and MikeLuoma.com. This has been a presentation of Glow in the Dark Radio.